Hello guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Eugene, how are you?
I'm good, Lucy. Tired, but good.
Your skin actually looks amazing.
Is it a skincare routine?
Like, what's going on? Like, hold on a minute.
Just fresh on the barber, basically.
Yay.
That's it.
So,
yeah. I mean, I can tell. Look at your hair.
you know, new age, new hair.
Of course. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Leo season and all
Leo
that.
Leo season. You know, all the Hardys of fire signs.
How was the birthday?
I had the most chilled birthday of my life.
I can't believe you worked on your birthday. It should be a crime. I've said this before. It should be a crime to work on your birthday, but...
Did I work?
Yeah.
But no, normally every birthday I travel.
Okay.
And obviously this birthday, my birthday travel plans are later.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what, let me just stay in London.
Fair enough.
And plus, unfortunately, my birthday is during peak time, meaning everything is just 20 times more expensive. And I got tired of preparing my trips way earlier to avoid paying crazy costs. To be fair,
you've done a lot of traveling this year.
This is my first time. Let's just be real. My nail lady literally was like, because I was like, yeah, I'm going to come back in 2 weeks. She was like, you're traveling, aren't you? I didn't even say anything. And she was like, you traveled like 6 times. This year. But it was not, because this is my first time in 5 years I actually spent my birthday in London.
Okay.
Like, I did not actually travel. It was actually chilled. I just got myself a brand new 50-inch TV.
Jesus Christ.
I went to get some sushi. And
that sushi you were fucking up.
That's so chill. No, that's nice though, man. It was good. So it was a chill birthday. I'm just grateful that God added another year into my life.
Indeed.
And I'm just doing what I do. And I'm kind of scared of 27 because I've been told it's a scary age.
Relax.
So we'll
just enjoy your 20s, man. That's all I'm going to say. The mid 30-year-old here. I'm happy to be here. But like, it's been very hectic in terms of what's been going on.
It's funny. I feel like it's been hectic in terms of obviously tennis and our personal lives 100%. At the same time.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how we would have done it if we were still doing like, because for those of you who are new listeners, we actually used to pod every 2 weeks.
Yeah, fortnightly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Right now, every time I think about it, I'm like, bro.
How?
How?
But to be fair, that kind of changed with my job, when I got my new job.
Mm.
Because, yeah, basically the hours are insane. And like, I don't really have many weekends off.
Yeah.
So it made it kind of impossible to kind of pod every fortnight.
Mm.
So that's how we've come up with this new kind of, I say, scheme. It's not really a scheme. It's just like as and when we can fit it in.
Basically.
But like before major events, which is good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think the listeners know, like kind of the deal. Like we keep you guys posted on the socials.
I think that's why I'm not too fussed with the fact that we don't pod as much. Because obviously I see other tennis pods, it's just like boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, boom,
yeah.
But it's like we're active on social.
100%.
We have all of the latest updates. So if you do not follow us, guys, you're tripping.
Love that segue.
You need to go and follow. So yeah, before we actually start. So obviously the pod today is going to be mainly about the highlights. You know what's been going on, the hardcore season. How do you feel about the hardcore season?
Yeah,
so
I've been enjoying it, man. Like it's kind of my bag because like, I prefer the kind of late nights as opposed to waking up early in the morning.
Yeah, because you sleep at dumb o'clock.
So exactly, like for me, it's perfect. But now some good things have happened even before like we got to the US, which we'll talk about. Like it's been quite nice to kind of still be on that Wimbledon high, but then also look forward to like what's coming and like what's been happening since Wimbledon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you feel the same or.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, I don't know. It's weird. As much as I love like the US like leg tours and stuff, it's like the time difference at time does get a little bit hard. For instance, there was France's match yesterday that I really did want to watch, but it was like 1:30.
Oh, yeah,
and
Stanislas.
I had to wake up to go because I'm going to the office and stuff. Luckily, I've got a hybrid role. It could have been worse. Imagine if I was working 9 to 5 and I had to be in the office from Monday to Friday. Like, it would have been literally impossible for me to follow because by the time I finish work, that's when the early matches are starting. Do you get what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly. Impossible.
So, yeah, but no, it's been great. And you know what? Let's actually just crack on to actually speak about some tennis. So, highlights. Number one highlight. in terms of black spin, we have Coco Gauff, who's a city open champion. Coco won her first WTA 500, beating Maria Sakkari 6-2, 6-3.
Is that a semi-final?
No, finals.
Oh, what, I'm thinking of Bencic. Why do I think Bencic was the final? I'm sorry,
That Bencic match, but that Bencic match was good though.
Yeah, it was good. She played off the court though, man. She did. Oh, it was ridiculous.
She did, and I'm glad that she did because y'all know how I, me, Lucy, feel about Bencic. But anyway, so yeah, that was just an excellent performance from Coco. She didn't drop a set all week. She beat some top 20 players as well on her way. And I think it was just great for her to do that, especially after such a tough loss at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And the fact that she did that so quickly and like, she could have taken like months and months and months for her to prep. Because I'm not going to lie, after that Wimbledon loss, I was kind of scared for her. I was like, damn, is she going to be able to pick it up? What's going to... Because it was huge, yeah, you know? Yeah. Wimbledon is the place that basically like where we all started having eyes on her. You know, is a grand slam. And it's first round, like she... You know, she was playing in...
Although Kenin is a grand slam winner though. Like, so it was a tough draw. But I know what you're saying. Like, of course, like it's tough to go out as a top 10 seed as well.
I get it, but Kenin for the last couple years is not been. Do you get what I mean? Like, even after she won that slam, it was literally quiet. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
But she did play well against Coco.
No. Like, Kenin, yeah, she did. But in my honesty, I kind of felt like that was a match that she shouldn't have lost. But then obviously seeing how Kenin played. Get a bit, but still,
yeah,
especially with the way that Coco's been moving. But I do remember seeing someone tweet it. Shout out to Wayne, he tweeted, maybe Coco needed like a tough loss like that for her to actually get up and just, you know,
and she kind of did say that and, as well, like, yeah, yeah,
and he was, and literally, they were both right. And look at that, because not only she came to win the title, but she actually won the title and she played so much better. Like, her serves were great, her forehands, and she even said it herself, like, she was like, I can see these people are aiming for my ball. I know what they're trying to do. So now I'm going to like work up on it. And you know, you people that be talking about forehands. She's now improved it. And now we can like, you know, see the difference. So yeah, but how did you
feel? Yeah, no, exactly the same. Like, I was just really impressed in terms of just the way she approached it, like coming in. I think she had Baptiste for her first match. It was second round because she had a first round bye.
Yeah.
So it was Hayley Baptiste for her second round match. And that was a nice kind of moment as well. And she spoke really well after that match about how, yeah, there aren't that many, you know, coming up, there weren't that many black girls like on the junior tour. So to play someone like Baptiste, you know, on the professional level of WTA 500, like, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, I hope we have many more battles, and like, just really encouraging. Yeah, and I think she's younger than Baptiste.
Yeah.
But like, she was speaking like a big sis kind of, but also it was like this is my compatriot and a friend, someone I've known for a long time. And she's a fellow black girl. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a nice moment. So I thought that was really special. In terms of her overall play, man, yeah, she was just on a different level. And like, for me, it's like kind of something that you kind of you expect, but you also take for granted with Coco, because she's so talented. Like, you kind of, you know, she's got all the tools and the weapons, and she's still developing because she's just 19.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when you actually see it, and like, I think that's why I mentioned the Bencic match, because the Bencic match for me was like the one where I was like, bloody hell, this girl's special. Like,
yeah.
And like, Bencic is a quality professional. Like, she's top 20, very consistent. But like, yeah, Coco just played off the court. And I was just like, my word. I was like, yeah, she's taking this. And that was a quarterfinal, sorry, because it was Samsonova in the semi and then Sakkari in the final.
In the finals,
And then, Samsonova I was not worried about at all. And she pretty much dealt with that again, like you said, straight sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sakkari, again, the same. Like, and Sakkari is a player that I think she has a losing record against. I think the head-to-head.
She has a losing record. And that's another thing. The final was a big final.
Yeah.
And it was a thing where it's like, if you're a fan of tennis, it's like, damn, I want both of these.
This is the thing. They're groovy.
Because
yeah.
Zakaria as well, she's been to, she's lot. I can't remember if it's a lot of finals or semi-finals.
I think semis. People say, yeah, oh, she's a semi-final, like choke. Like she's
yeah,
always chosen
she gets
semi-finals.
She
yeah.
just loses. So
which I think is so stupid if people say that, but anyway.
So the fact that she reached like a final was, you know, WCA 500 as well. It was big.
Yeah. What did you make of Brad Gilbert as well? Because I was so happy for Jameer, and we posted it on our story and Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, because yeah, he puts in a lot of work, and I feel like someone like him kind of gets overlooked a bit because he's like, obviously he's been on the team for a while now.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah, yeah.
Brad Gilbert is like Brad Gilbert, and mm-hmm. I think he's there as, or he's now on her team as like an advisor, not so much a coach. But then she's got her coach, the Spanish guy, I forgot his name, sorry.
Yes, I forgot his name as well. But yeah.
Pear?
That's, yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, he's there doing his thing. But I was a little bit irked, Lucy, I'm not going to lie, about like, I just felt like, obviously Brad Gilbert is a big name, but yeah. I did feel like the kind
sorry,
of...
Sorry, Pere Reba, that's it.
Reba. I did feel like the cameras like just kept panning to him like every minute. And I was just like, chill out, like...
I mean, it's a big name.
It's a big name, but I mean, it's Coco Gauff, bro. Like, yeah. She's a star. Like, relax. And she's a major talent. Like,
No. She is.
Do you get me?
Yeah,
that's just me. Like, I'm not saying, like, that's how everybody should feel that, or everybody should feel that way, or, yeah. If you don't feel that way, you're wrong. Like, that's just how I felt.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, now they're in Cincinnati. He's there with her again, like, in the camp. And yeah, I mean, clearly, like,
it's working.
So, working. I mean, I say long may it continue. But I just hope, you know, yeah, Jameer deserves credit as well, basically. Mm. And that's why, again, we exist, because we're shining that light on him as well to say, listen, he's on the team too. Like, so yeah, that's my kind of little rant.
No, it was not. A big congrats to Coco.
Yeah.
That was like a fab performance during City Open. Hopefully, you know, Cincinnati, we can grab that too.
Indeed.
That would be so great. All out, we can at least just go all the way further down. I feel like this is a great prep for her for the US Open, because obviously her being an American player, there's always going to be like more eyes.
A lot of eyes, exactly.
Well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just on the men quickly, because it was Dan Evans at one, obviously. But we had a nice moment with, I think it was... Before the tournament started, Zach Evenden shared that video.
Oh my gosh, yes. How could I
forget
about that?
Which is really special.
Yeah, that like, was so nice. That picture alone was just...
Crazy, isn't it?
It was just nice to just see. I feel like a lot of the black players, like, they really like, you know, it's like... It's like there's WTA, ATP, ACS. And for those that don't know what ACS, I don't know if there is in America, but ACS is basically, obviously in our college here, we have societies, like different groups that you can be like, I don't know, basketball society, football society. And obviously for us, there was African, Caribbean, United, so it's just black people together. So I feel like the ATP, WTA, there's an ACS, which is great. Because look at
that. I say the American equivalent would be like a HBCU.
Yeah.
Which is like a historical
things with that, I think that college, they have to be like a university.
Yeah,
is.
Exactly.
Whereas us, we don't even have that.
Yeah,
exactly.
We just have a society within the university.
Exactly. Mm. The society within the university, and then you can deal with that. But it's really cool. Like all of them, like, you know, you can see that they get along and, you know, they have some sort of relation. But that image alone, especially like with black men, and I think even Coco's dad was,
yeah,
it was
actually
it was players, it was coaches, it was
fathers,
all together. So
it was, yeah, Corey, obviously Coco's dad, and Michael Moe's dad as well was there. Which was nice, yeah. So he was on the end.
Oh, nice.
With a guy from the JTCC who obviously knows Francis,
and
obviously being in Washington as well.
Yeah.
So it was just very powerful, man.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, them just like warming up together, or hitting together, like literally four of them on the same, side by side, two separate courts.
Yeah.
But I was like, look at this.
This is
an absolute scene.
This is actually beautiful.
So
shout out to them, man.
Yeah, it was beautiful to see that.
But, next highlight, big one. Now this is for you. I should let you.
To be fair, we should have started with this because this was actually before.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
The City Open. No, but it's cool.
But
and it, to be fair, it kind of fits with the, because the tennis calendar is such a mess in terms of like, we finish on grass and we go back to clay, and then onto hard. Like, what?
It makes no sense at all. I say we scrap off the clay
stuff after grass.
After grass, yeah. And just make grass season a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's a great shout.
Grass exactly. is literally so small. Yeah. Like, we need a little
like
bit
Like, have
more
a master's event on the grass.
Yeah.
Or 1,000. That's yeah. what they call it now. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
No, I completely
literally
agree.
Just scrap, you know. But then again, it's like, some people might argue saying, oh, lower ranked players, this is probably what, you know, works yeah. best for them and stuff. So I get it, but still, it's just too much.
Mm.
Clay, grass, clay, hardcore. And then the end of the year is like all over the place, hardcore, whatever.
Indoors,
indoors,
back to clay.
Outdoors. but yeah, so shout out to Noma Noha Akugwe. Akugwe, wow.
Oh. I think it is Akugwe.
Is it Akugwe?
I think so.
You should know.
Don't put me on the spot like
you
that,
man. You should know. For those of you that don't know, Eugene is half Jamaican, half Nigerian. I'm not Nigerian, and Noma here is Nigerian. She's from Edo State, isn't
exactly.
she?
Same, yeah. same. Well, her dad is. So that's the same state as Rema, the singer.
Yes.
Which is big.
Yeah.
Big,
well,
big,
I only
big.
Know about Edo because my best friend is from Edo.
So, hey.
So yeah, but I'm a,
is she Igbo Yoruba?
Who?
Your best friend.
She's Yoruba.
Okay, because yeah. I was thinking is Akure Igbo, but she probably,
she looks but isn't she, that but isn't this name
Akure, it is
it's
Igbo.
Giving me is you should be knowing this wow
stop it
no but this spot. Name no this name is giving me Igbo so anyways yeah. if any of you Nigerians are listening
no
please
don't
let
no,
us
no,
know.
No we I will find out
you find
we don't need we don't need to ask listen I'm Nigerian so let's
all right cool shout out to Noma who was the Hamburg Open finalist
runner up yes sir
WTA debut and yeah she came through qualifying as well
so crazy
she had like an amazing run she played so well like a lot of people were so impressed by her performance she lost to Avrankar Rus
Arantxa yeah
what
I think it's Arantxa
I need to stop saying the names.
It's cool.
She lost to Ruth. And I saw this, I remember seeing this on a caption when you posted it. This is actually Ruth's first final at the age of 32.
Yeah. But she, that's the thing of her, like she plays mostly like ITFs, like, and she kills it on the ITF circuit. She's got so many ITF like titles, but yeah, in terms of WTA.
Wow. It never really clicked into my head because obviously I always see her name,
yeah.
but I never actually clocked that. Okay, she's actually not, she's not reached like
someone posted a picture of it was during lockdown mm-hmm. she played Serena it was when Cincinnati was at the US Open site
yeah.
and she gave Serena a hell of a time
yeah,
you know
yeah,
like
she
put Serena through it
well, you know how they be playing when they play against
she put Serena through it boy
but
yeah Noma man she yeah. was insane like I just love her like demeanor as well because I think she's only 19 and like there's such a calm, like, aura about her and her game as well. Like, she's got a big game.
So when you
see her, you're like, doesn't really match. Like, she's like this really quiet,
mm-hmm.
almost, you can see she's very shy.
Yeah.
But the game is big.
I won't say shy. I think she looks more reserved.
I'd say shy. Like, the way she speaks, like, when she was speaking, she speaks very good English too, which I'm always impressed with. Like, when, non-English speaker can speak good English. Because obviously she's born and raised in Germany. But yeah, I was just so impressed with her, man. Like I said, I think her game is one that we need to look out for.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like 100%. She's, I think she's in the top 200 now.
Yeah, she is.
And she's someone you always kind of see like in the qualifying draws, like at Grand Slams.
Yeah.
I think
I think after Hamburg, she only played one ITF or 100 or 125.
Yeah, it was an ITF. Yeah, I think.
Because
she don't forget she played Taylor Townsend Wimbledon qualies and Townsend
did,
beat her in straights.
Yeah.
And I was like, why?
She only played one ITF, and she actually reached the quarterfinals that after Hamburg. But since then, she hasn't played like any matches. But I'm wondering she probably be
she'll be in the qualifying for US.
For
yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, as long as you just get those matches in, like start your WTA debut and then you reach the final.
That's unheard of.
That
like,
is,
yeah.
And going through qualifying is just crazy.
Nuts.
She even did an interview to the WTA website And she was talking about her game, like she feels like her strongest finger, like her forehands. And she even, I think, I can't remember if it was her or the whoever wrote the article or interviewed her, said that it was very similar to Steffi. Like,
yeah, because it was her dad. Her dad basically watched Steffi Graf and was like, wow, I want to kind of get my daughter into tennis.
He did like, well, yeah. She's a legend. Mm. Steffi, like, you know, her and her the things about Steffi's forehand is like, anywhere around the court, she's going to hit that. And it was funny because Noma was kind of doing that same thing. As well.
All right, tennis historian, watching Steffi Graf's game.
I actually really like her.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. Like, I actually really... Do you know what I rate the most about her? Is the fact that she did what she had to do and dipped. She goes... She was like, fuck you people. I'm out. Listen, I got my golden slam. You guys can't tell me nothing. My kids are healthy. I'm you know, giving back to the community. Like, it's to me, I rate a lot. Like, you've lived your dream and you've done even more.
Yeah.
And now all you're doing is living life low-key and giving back to the community. Because she did, like, an interview on Vogue, like, a year or two ago.
Okay.
And I thought she would be personal and stuff.
Mm-mm.
But no, she was just talking about the stuff that she's doing. So, shout out to the legendary Steffi Graf. But, yeah, but in terms of, like, Naomi, and what I liked as well in the interview, she also said that she was inspired by Naomi Osaka.
Which
is really, really cool to, like, hear, because Osaka is literally, like, she's not even that much older than her. I think she's only, like, four or five years older than her.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see that. So, shout out to Naomi. Congrats to her. Shout out to Nigeria. What is it? Naija no carry life.
That's a burner boy, your burner boy.
Naija no carry life. So yeah, shout out to her.
No, it's a big look, man. And like, yeah, I think, like I said, I think she's going to be a name we're going to be looking out for. She's
100%.
145 in the rankings at the moment. So that's only going to continue to go up. So yeah, man, big shouts out to Noma.
Mm-hmm.
We also should shout out Arthur.
Arthur Fils. Top 50 player.
Semi-finalist.
Semi-finalist at Hamburg, and he lost to Zverev.
Bageled Casper, played a match of his life against Casper Ruud.
That match was like, everyone was just talking about that.
Dished out a bagel to the clay court king. That's crazy. That is mad.
That is, like, that was big.
And I was watching that at work, so I wasn't paying full attention. Mm-hmm. But some of the shots I was seeing, I was like, is this really?
Yeah, no, he was playing. Is this really
happening?
I think, you know what, with players is like, when they know they're playing like against like a big top player, they just bring out like.
To be honest, Lucy, and I, not to say that I'm of any level, but like when you're, because yeah, I played tennis back in the day. The better player you play with, the better you are as well,
because
it's just like the level is, you have to kind of match the level basically or try to.
Yeah.
So, but of course, when you're playing a match, it's completely different. So. Mm. But yeah, we know, like, again, Fils, major talent, man. And like, I feel like he's starting to like establish himself at the top of the game in terms of like, as a player that players are going to be looking at and thinking, yeah, I don't want to play him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he's a threat. So yeah, very, very excited about Arthur.
No, I am. Yeah, I am. I think he went through qualifying for City Open, I believe.
Yes, he did. Cincinnati.
But then he lost to his French.
Humbert.
Yeah, that's it. He lost to him. It wasn't. I think it was three sets. I think he won like.
It was topsy turvy. Yeah.
Or something like that. So yeah, but still, shout out to Fils. He said he did. I remember he did say during Wimbledon that he was looking forward to the hard courts. So yeah.
I think he's gonna be. Yeah, I think he'll be a problem, and like no one's gonna want to see him first round. So, and like you said, he's top 50 now. He's only 19 again. Like, it's just so crazy, like, the talent that's coming through, man.
He looks older. I feel like he looks around my age.
You think so?
Yeah. When I found out he was only 19, I was actually pretty surprised. But shout out to Arthur.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to him for making it work. I'll say that's the main highlights so far.
I'd say so.
I'll say the main highlights. We do have a lot of little random tennis news. Obviously, Venus Williams already back. And crazy. I'm saying already, because I'm not going to lie to you, Eugene. After Wimbledon, I thought we would not see her for a little hot minute.
Really?
I'm actually really surprised that she came back to play so early, so quickly.
And she's been playing well as well.
And she's been playing, she's moving. I feel like she's even moving better now than when during grass season.
Yeah. I think she's still got the strapping, hasn't she?
She's still got the strapping. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. I'm really curious to know, like, what actually happened, like, during that time. But anyways, her and her red lippy. You know, but shout out to her still, because she actually got her first top 20 win in 4 years.
Mad.
Against Veronika Kudermatova.
Yes, sir.
Finally said
that's a top player as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was at Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cincinnati, yeah. I did watch a bit of a match yesterday against Zheng Wang.
Qin Wen, yeah. Qin Wen. Zheng, yeah. Zheng Qin Wen. Or Zheng, yeah. The Chinese.
This episode should be named.
Stop it.
Butchering names. Because right now we are struggling.
The butcher coming. I'm sorry. I had to put that out there. I'm sorry. King Wing.
That was a good one.
King Wing Jen.
Yes. So, yeah, that match was interesting. She was moving a bit better, but to be fair.
Yeah, she took the opening set 6-1.
Yeah, but to be fair, Zheng was not playing.
Really? Like, I wasn't watching it, so.
She was not playing well at all. So when she picked up, that's when it became a little bit more challenging for Venus anyways. But still, listen, anytime she's on court, as long as she's happy and she's playing healthily, that's all that matters. So shout out to Venus.
Because even before Cincinnati, that she did play... Montreal.
Yeah, she played in Montreal as well.
And that was looking a bit one-sided until the second set.
Yeah.
It picked up. Yeah, and then I was like, geez, this is going to go to three.
That was a late match for us
exactly.
In the UK. So I didn't actually get to watch it. But when I woke up, I did see a lot of people saying that it was a tight
She
one.
Put Keys through it in that second set. Yeah. And I think Keys actually injured herself in Montreal.
Yes, I saw that. I remember seeing that.
Because she took like a late time out.
I think
because
it's hard court, maybe Venus feels a little bit more comfortable.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe... And plus, to be fair, the grass like tournaments were like her first matches since
in a while. Yeah. No, that's a good
conditions
point.
Conditions are different as well. So, so shout out to Venus. Speaking of American players, there was a whole Vanity Fair magazine type of like, you know, collab with basically like top American players.
Did you read it? It's a long read.
No.
I did. I read it last night.
You read it last night?
Yeah, so
okay.
It was Caitlin Thomas. She wrote the article.
Okay.
But the actual photographer is a black woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dana Scruggs. So, because the pictures are amazing. But I didn't know there was like, not backlash, but like, I don't know, people calling out or saying, oh, where's certain people? Like, why are we missing out? I didn't know that.
Where was Coco?
Yeah, but Coco's busy, man. I know all of them are on the tour.
When I tweeted on my personal, some were like, I remember one person answered and was like, oh, either it was her schedule or they couldn't afford her.
Blood clot. I think it's more schedule.
I've got a theory.
Go on. That face, go on.
I've got a theory. You guys know me and my theories.
Come. How controversial are you going to be, Lucy, right now?
I'm not going to be controversial. But I generally think it's her agent who said no.
Interesting.
Because...
You know what? I kind of hear you, you know.
I generally think her agent is the one. Because some of the things that Coco signs to, and this is... We're talking here about her business, not about her matches, not about her game or her as a person. This is mainly to her agent. Some of the things that Coco signs to does not assign to who she is. She signed like one deal now about like accounting or finance, like some finance stuff, right?
Lucy, if the money's right, like let's not.
Do not, no, no, no.
And I'm
no,
not
no,
one
no.
to look at one
no,
people's money.
No, don't
like,
get me wrong. Listen, you know me. I always come on this pod and say, yo, get paid. When we saw Francis walking around with Jill, you know, seeing me like shouting, like, you go get that money, Francis. I'm all for it. But for example, the things that Francis has been signing to, it makes sense a little bit.
It kind of, like you said, it aligns.
It aligns the things that Osaka's been signing to. Obviously, but hers different. She's in charge of her own shit as well.
That's our agency.
Most of the stuff that Coco's interested in, like, things that she signed in, it's different from, like, she's a young black girl.
Yeah.
Show me, like, I'm not saying don't do, for example, if she did a lot of the stuff that, if she was signing to a lot of the stuff that's related to her and she did that accounting thing that I'm talking about that she signed to recently, then it will make sense. I'll be like, okay, yeah, that's just like a extra money grab and stuff. And like, who are you even marketing to? Because the people that are watching you, they're not interested in them finance stuff. Do you get what I mean? Most of the people. Yeah. For instance, like, I would love to see her to do something with beauty.
Mm.
Everyone talks about her nails. Why does this girl not have a nail deal?
Wow.
Do you get what I mean? I don't know. Me personally, when I saw that, instantly my mind was like, her team didn't want her to be there. They probably thought, you know what?
I think her team needs to get in touch with you, to be honest. But
I don't know. They probably thought, okay, yeah, she needs to have like her own staff.
Yeah. Like, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Like to kind of keep her away. Her, like, yeah. In terms like, of she's on her own lane.
You guys know.
Yeah.
But nah. That's I may be completely wrong. It might actually just
it's an interesting take. Schedule thing. And I get where you're coming from. Definitely.
Yeah, they might just be like, yeah, it's a schedule thing. Cool. Or who knows? Maybe her parents didn't feel comfortable. She didn't feel comfortable even doing it. You never actually know. But I'll be really surprised because one, this is Vanity Fair. This is a big publication. She's one of the biggest and most popular American players currently, especially for her age as well.
Yeah.
She's part of the next gen. Like she's won a title earlier this year.
It wasn't even
she's reached finals. Grand Slam final. She's just won a title now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it wasn't really like a next gen thing. Although it was.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of angled that way. It was kind of angled that way.
Because like Shelby
maybe.
Rogers was in there.
Yeah.
Who else was in there? Madison Keys, who's like, yeah, she's like late 20s. Yeah.
No.
Like,
but I'm saying like in terms of like Coco being there. She has so many things.
She's like, definitely the biggest like tennis player in America.
Like, this is what I'm saying.
That's no disrespect to Jessie Pegula because Pegula's number 3 in the world, I think.
Yes.
So she's ranked above Coco, but Coco is the biggest star. There's no doubt.
When we went Wimbledon like 2 years ago, a year or two ago as fans, and then we were literally watching her like Aged woman that was in front of us that was texting and I was snooping. My bad. Yeah, I do that. No, I don't mind my business. I was literally reading her text. She didn't even know Coco's name, but she was describing her. She's everyone knows about her. So it's like, I don't know. If it's not the schedule thing, in all honesty, I think it's basically her agency. Agency or her agent that's like, we don't want to do that.
Fair play.
Which is a shame. But if it isn't, hey, it is
what I would recommend everyone reads the article though, because it's like, it's not really an interview, it's just like an analysis of like, yeah, certain players anyway within that photo shoot.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't every single player in there that was like given, I don't know, some words. Like Keys was in there quite prominently, but yeah, there's no words on her.
Yeah, yeah.
But like there's nice words about Alicia Parks, for instance, who obviously we mess with heavy. Mm-hmm. Frances Tiafoe too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like I think like you said, it's weird, like Coco not being.
She was the
part
one
that
people brought up the most.
Yeah, like, and it's understandable.
Where is Coco?
It's understandable.
But that's my theory. If you guys agree with my theory, please at us or use the hashtag #BlastPick and let us know because, yeah, maybe going crazy. let's actually stick to the US stuff.
Okay.
So US Open actually did dash out their wild cards.
Oh, yes, them. Yes.
And we have Robin Montgomery, obviously.
Big.
Claire Ngunu, Venus Williams, and Michael Moe, which is really exciting as well. Before you actually say anything, Eugene, I do have to let people know that I don't know why you're shocked that Venus Williams has wild cards.
Oh, wow. Are we still doing this? People what?
Bro.
No
people
way.
Were literally like going off. I think even the Tennis Channel even released like an article about like wild cards, and I didn't read the article to be fair, but it did put a picture of like Venus Williams. But that's how much people were talking about
it.
And so I was just like, oh, how many wild cards is Venus Williams going to keep on getting? And the answer is, she's always going to get them.
100%.
Like it's Venus Williams. Okay, is in fact. Is Venus Ebony Star get it right? I don't understand. Do you expect a top legendary player to not get a wild card to her home Grand Slam? Mm. Like US Open, United States of America? Like, does that go together?
I also just feel like as well, people need to like kind of, I don't know, look back on the history of tennis to kind of realize and just really understand how influential she's been, like in terms of, well, equal prize money. She was literally the the main reason why the women are getting paid
exactly
equally now in some of these tournaments.
A whole Wimbledon.
Like, this is what I'm saying. So, and also the work she's done behind the scenes that, like, doesn't really get...
Even off and on court. The thing is, right now, I am correct. She has the most Grand Slams or active players.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of, like, women.
Yeah, women.
So... I don't understand. Listen, why are you going to be on your screen rolling your eyes? We're going to be watching the legendary Venus Williams walk into a pool and playing. Whether she loses
with her red lipstick on.
With her red lipstick on, her red lippy on, she's going to walk her that pool with that nice 11 kit and give us a good match. And then when she wants to go home, she's going to go home. But do not be questioning why a legendary player has wild cards. I don't give a damn how she plays. Like, that's actually so insane. Even if it was at least for French Open, I can even understand.
Not really, but Lucy.
Any Grand Slam. But the reason why I'm saying it is because the fact that they complain about it even more during the US Open makes zero sense. Don't be questioning my goal again in your life. She's inspiring your favorite player and you're asking why does she have a wild card? Are you crazy?
Crazy.
Did you brush your teeth before you even tweet? Anyways.
But also shouts out to Claire V as well, because she won that US it was an under-18s event that basically got her the wild card. So she really won that wild card.
Mm-mm-mm.
But yeah, she's been on like crazy form, like, since
she just
Wimbledon.
Won a recent ITF event
Yeah. So like, yeah.
She's on it.
She's
right?
A name to look out for. And like, obviously 100%. We're fully behind her. Yep. Jermaine Jenkins being her coach, like, it's all good.
It's all nice, honestly. Shout out to them. Looking forward to them in the US. In terms of, well, speaking of US Open still, for us UK fans, tennis will no longer be on Prime soon. This is actually, the first time I heard this news, I actually wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Because it was just so, whoever made that decision, yeah, please revert it.
It's too late for that now.
It's too late. 5-year deal signed in terms of the US Open being on Sky Sports. I don't know about the rest, actually. I don't know if that's also 5 years or two.
For
like the other WTA or
I don't
ATP
know.
Thing.
I have no idea.
All I know is that the US Open, they signed, there's like a 5-year deal with Sky Sports and US Open.
Okay.
So the US Open would not be on Prime this year. It will be on Sky Sports. So do get that.
To be honest, I think maybe we should look into this more in more detail, like, for another episode. But I feel like tennis coverage in general, not just in the UK, can definitely do with like a revamp.
Oh, 100%.
Because I see a lot of like tweets from American viewers.
But the number one person, Miles. Miles will remind Tennis Channel every day that you guys are not showing the matches properly. Like, some of the tweets that I read, because he's the one, he's been really actively speaking about it. And I find it crazy because I even saw people yesterday tweeting about sharing YouTube links.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you lot are in America. How are you struggling to find a way to watch the matches? Mm. I'm all the way in fucking UK. And I can literally just, do you get what I mean? Like, I was really, really, really surprised. Like, a lot of people were like, I don't know how to watch this match. Where can I watch this match? Or even on our pages, like, people will come in and be like, oh, where can I watch this match and stuff? Or like, they'll play a match, but they'll play like a throwback of 2003, or they won't play show any of the American players. And apparently it's damn expensive. Mm. Like, the Tennis Channel there is like nearly $100. Like, it's damn expensive.
Well, to be
like,
fair, really Sky is not cheap.
Sky, that's why I'm sad.
Yeah.
Because at Prime, all I had to do was pay with my Amazon and that's it.
Yeah.
It was, I think, so right now, they're actually doing a deal. They're doing like a free trial for like, basically free for 1 month.
Okay.
And then I think it's like £28 you just want the Sky Sports thing. They have different packages.
Fair enough, yeah.
But
it's
if
also
you just
like TNT,
so they have the they even have one package where it's like you can have Sky Sports and Netflix and this, da, 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 and I think that's like £30
okay.
month. But all of that
that's,
is just like
good for me to know. But you got the 50-inch TV, like,
I know, like, that's the thing. But it's annoying that I'll get my 50-inch TV and now I have to, but I'm just like, nah, man, giving Sky my money is actually paining me. Like, bro, Sky, come on, man. We should even be getting a deal, to be honest. Come on, call out a Blackspin.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
But yeah, so for UK fans, if you're listening, get prepped up. You need to check your subscription.
Get ready.
Unless if you already have Sky Sports, or there's also Now TV Sports.
Okay, I don't have Now. It's a Sky for me, but yeah.
But yeah, you're a Sky guy anyways.
My dad is, but yeah, not me.
Oh, so you're good then?
I mean, yeah.
You're sorted. You're all right.
Yes,
I've got an extra bill to pick up now. Bloody £30 a month. But yeah, so...
But no, I feel like we should definitely look into that in more detail. Like, and maybe Miles to kind of explain what the situation is in America 100%. As well. Because it definitely does need, like, it needs a revamp. And, like, it just needs to be made more accessible. Because it's, like, it's ridiculously expensive and difficult to watch tennis, and it shouldn't be.
And especially with us, because all tournaments are, like, worldwide.
Yeah.
Like, they're not...
Different time zones,
like, different times are different anything. So, for example, me personally... I don't mind paying. I'm the type of person where I like to pay for convenience.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pay that X amount, but it's going to give me what I want or what I need, fair play. But the issue with them, for example, that's why I love, like, if Prime, for instance, they said, okay, we're keeping everything in Prime, but you have to pay £10 instead of, or you have to pay like £20 or whatever, I'll do it. Because I'm like, you know what? Because the thing is with Prime, we had every single court.
It's brilliant.
Even if there was no commentators, which is even my favourite type of course, if there were no commentators, I will literally, you can still watch it. Like, we could watch anything. The only thing that we couldn't watch on Prime was Australian Open and French Open.
Yeah.
They were both on Eurosport. Or if there's like obviously random ITF events, but...
Australian Open actually, it was on Prime, but through Eurosport. So you have to have a Eurosport.
Yeah, so it's free. Yeah, yeah. Because Prime, what they do this channel thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, if you have like subscription elsewhere, you can put it through like Prime, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, everything is just one and like in there. So that's why I really am looking forward into like Sky Sports to see how it is.
Do.
Like I've seen pictures of the studio. Obviously, it's going to be the same people from Prime that are moving to Sky Sports.
Okay.
Tim Henman and them, man.
Catherine Whittaker.
I think so. But I saw a lot of like same names and stuff.
No, fair play.
So we'll see. But the things with the Americans is that they pay you so much. But if there's like a Francis match right now, there are high chances they might not show it.
It's nuts. They'll be showing like paddle or something.
Or like the Venus match, tennis. Apparently they were showing it like at the end. Like last two set, and it was just like,
that's mad.
Imagine fans paying, like, this sport is just so expensive already, and now I'm paying this much just to watch it, and you're giving me a headache. Or I have to go on Twitter and be tweeting stream and someone share streaming. In 2023, I should not be looking for a stream, like illegal streams, or if it's a YouTube stream or whatever. I should not be. No tennis fan should be looking for that in 2023. Like, be for real.
Yes, Lucy, I love that.
So.
A lot of passion in that.
Thank you.
A little speech. But yeah, back to like kind of what's going on now. So it's Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I think we should speak about Gilman Fish, you know, because he's having a bit of a revival.
We should. No, 100%. Like, I was a bit hesitant on put it on now, not like if we talk about it now or not, but you're right.
No, because he had a good run in Toronto, quarterfinals. I think he lost to Sinner, and that was a free
there
set.
There was one match.
A free
I can't
set
remember
match.
Who it was against. It was literally this week. His first round, where he literally had, I was watching that match, he had a medical timeout.
So Cam Norrie?
Yes, against Norrie. It was a medical timeout.
Unbelievable.
He was literally like, he even had a towel on top of his head. I even thought, I was getting ready to even switch it, because I was
over.
It looks like it's done. Yeah. My guy won the match.
Lucy, man.
And not only he's winning the matches, like he is giving us the vintage.
Oh man, that's the word.
Shots.
That's the word. That's the word right there. The vintage. Vintage Lamorf.
Vintage Lamorf is he's
Lucy,
back.
Lucy, man. I was like, this guy can actually
back.
Do it. Like
he can like it's just honestly, it's just amazing to see, because the way he's been talking about like, you know, how he's been feeling. I personally think him seeing his wife doing great as well.
Yeah.
I mean, she reached the quarterfinals, Wimbledon or semifinals,
I
can't remember.
Quarters, maybe the semis.
Either way, she's won a title. You know, she's playing like really well. Like she's getting like
all
really
since
far.
Becoming a mom.
Becoming a mom. Mm. And that is not easy, you know. And I think he probably got inspired by that and seeing his peers and just pushing through. And honestly, I just hope that he just enjoys these last moments.
I think he definitely is. But for me, the most exciting thing is the fact that like he's still able to compete with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Norrie is a solid, you know, bass liner, just hard to break down. Morphe's just...
I don't know. Just, I generally thought that match was done.
He just like...
I thought that match was done.
Knuckled down.
I put on my remote. I was like, yeah, he's basically... He had a towel over the top of his head. Yeah. He was looking like... He even kept on going like this. He was looking at his camp. He was like, nah. So I thought, oh, okay, yeah.
And then Alex Dimonor was the second round.
Same thing as what I watched that yesterday.
Alex Dimonor coming off the back of, he was runner up in Montreal. Yep. So he's, not Montreal, sorry, Toronto. He was banging form. Monfils, straight just sets.
Straight sets. And he was playing like, because some of these shots, the shots that he was playing, it was incredible. Like Alex actually, could, like even him, I think Alex was even kind of taken back.
Yeah,
he was just like,
definitely.
What the fuck is going on here? But no, I'm really happy for Monfils.
Who's he got next though? God. Your boys. Listen, man, I think it's a good time. It's a good time to play him. He's not played. This is his first time in the US since a while. As in Novak.
Since Wimbledon, yeah. Since Wimbledon, this is the first time.
But I'm saying US, he's not been on US soil.
Oh yeah, that's true. So Novak's.
Although he did play against Fekina, and Fekina retired after the first set.
Yeah, he did. But still, yeah, you're right. I completely forgot.
So it's a great time.
He's now allowed in America.
It's a great time to play him. Like, and they have a very slanted record.
Yeah, like, a lot of people are like proper excited.
Monfils he's lost literally every game. I don't think he's beaten him.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's ever beaten Novak. He came very close in Dubai that year. Do you remember? Yeah, I think it's 2019 or 2020.
Monfils-Novak head to head.
Pretty sure he's never beaten him. Maybe in juniors, but...
God damn.
What is it, 19-0 or something?
18.
Jesus Christ. 18.
18-0.
That's changing. We're getting that win this week.
What?
In Jesus' name.
Amen! Novak, you lose it!
But no, I'm very happy to see Monfils playing at this level, man. Same. Like... And I think, again, it bodes well for the US because he reached the semifinals at the US Open a few times. So he likes playing in the US and like it's kind of the vibe is right for him. 100%. Do you get
and
then, me?
Oh, yeah. And every match they've been cheering for him.
Oh, man. Crazy. It's so mad. So crazy. Very, very happy to see him playing, man, at this level. And I think the players too, they enjoy having him around, man. Like, do you get me? It means a lot. I know he played Eubanks in Toronto,
yes,
which was a bit annoying seeing them play like first round.
Bro, there's been so many. And you know what's so funny about that, Eugene? A lot of people are starting to agree with
me. 100%.
My other theory, in case you guys did not know, one of my number one theory is that the draws are rigged when it comes to black players.
Check the comments. But anyway, no, listen.
They rigged when it comes to black players. No one could ever change my mind about this.
I can't say evil in it. Like, but yeah, I just like seeing when... You know, the players are playing against each other, but I prefer to see it later on in the tournament, not first round.
Not first round, like, yeah.
So
it's just nice seeing two black players, and stuff, but it is.
But I think that pretty much wraps up like our little roundup.
Yeah, we wanted to keep it nice and sweet and short.
Because we're going
to
do a US Open preview
before
you fly out. Or actually, will you be?
No, because I'm traveling elsewhere again. I'm traveling like, you know.
Lucy's just booked and busy out here. Catching flights.
It's Leo season.
Catching flights.
You know, I can't catch feelings, so I'm catching flights.
No, guys. But
we're going to do a pod next week. As soon as the draws are out for the US Open, we'll be doing a pod on that and our predictions. And I don't think I said this on a pod. About me going to New York.
Now's the time.
Well, guys, have you seen some of y'all in New York? There is a little thing where a lot of people think we are going to the US
Open. I wish. Next year, God willing.
So just want to clarify that, guys. We are not going to the US Open as media. So even if you see me there, I'm there. If you catch me with some like alcohol and that, just know that it's me enjoying my break, my holiday, okay? Like I said at the beginning of the pod.
You're not working.
I travel for my birthday every time. This is my first birthday in 5 years. I'm in London. And this is my birthday trip. So if you see me there with my tequila and my lemonade, respect that. You can come, you can still come and chat. Don't worry about that.
Grab a selfie.
Just, yeah, grab a selfie. Let's take some shots. How about that? You know? But the aim next year is to do both 100%. Wimbledon and US Open. We will be there, both of us, next year. But this year is strictly me. I'm going in some of the days, like some days during Labour weekend, and then some probably quarterfinals as well.
Sure, it's gonna be so lit. And the weather too, my, I'm jealous as hell.
Like, the weather's good. I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, so if you have any New York tips, guys, please send them through. You know, I'm a foodie. I like to shake ass and I like cultural stuff. So yeah, parties, food.
Let's go. All rounder.
You can't put me in one box. But yeah, so yes, yeah, so we are going to do that pod next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about cool. And, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the US Open. I feel like... going to be some exciting energy.
I feel like there's a lot of players as well that are kind of like hitting form, and I feel like a Grand Slam too, they're only going to just up the level. So it's going to be very exciting, man.
Yeah.
But again, Lucy, thank you as well, because you literally, this was your rundown. So hence why she was hosting today, like, and done a very, very good job.
Thank you.
So yeah, man, appreciate you, and happy birthday again as well. Leo season and all that.
Leo season. Get you a Leo woman and you'll be the happiest man ever. Or woman.
But yeah, guys, man, thank you again for tapping in. And yeah, just keep posted, keep up to speed on our socials. And until the next pod, we will see you again very soon.